Welcome back to Tip Today. Another news story, actually, that just came in this morning and just reading an email now. I know a lot of parents had been kind of left in limbo when it comes to leaving cert results, and the date on which those results were going to be given out or published was kind of up in the air, and nobody knew when the results were going to be available. Well, the State Examinations Commission has announced this morning that they intend to issue the 2022 Leaving Cert and Leaving Cert Applied Examination results to candidates on Friday, September 2nd. Now, details of the arrangements for the examinations were announced on the 1st of February, and they say that they've been engaged in planning and blah, blah, blah till then. So there were a number of factors that had to be taken into account before they could announce the date. But finally, that date has been announced this morning. So Leaving Cert students will get their result, and Leaving Cert Applied will get the results on Friday, September 2nd. So there you are. Our phone line's open, of course. Alton Nesbitt, a gardening expert, will be joining us in about half an hour or so, just over half an hour. So if you have any questions for him, you can send them in to us now. You can text or WhatsApp them on 083 311 3311. Or Emma is standing by to take them on 1800 938 007. Now it's time for our weekly health slot. Delighted, as always, to be joined by Muriel Cuddy, CEO of Health Screening Plus. Muriel, good morning.
Morning, Ali. How are you today?
I'm good, Muriel. Good to talk to you. Now, what we're talking about today, I suppose, very pertinent given what's taken place as well this week. But we're going to talk about dealing with grief and dealing with funerals and how to mind ourselves, I suppose, because there's a lot of people, you know, when you go through that and you go through the trauma of grief and death, and particularly when it's sudden, and it's almost you're like on autopilot. So what's the best thing you can do or help anyone around you who's going through that, just to carry them through it?
Yeah, I suppose, Ali, yeah, I've been through it a couple of times myself, and other people that you chat to that have been through it, you don't really understand the massive effect grief can have on you, I think, until it actually hits you. And even when it does hit you, you still don't even understand the signs and symptoms of what's happening, and relating back to, you know, this major event that after happening in your life. So a lot of people I've been chatting to over, even in the last couple of weeks, or even in the last couple of months, I suppose COVID has been one side of it, and just lots of different things. And people have been saying to me, you know, could it actually be grief that's after affecting me to such an extent? Grief can actually literally kill you, Ali. It's just, it impacts every single part of your body, from your brain chemistry. It can cause physical diseases, in like heart disease and so many other different things that people don't realise. And like even the broken heart syndrome that's there.
And we saw that in the Uvalde shooting as well, where the husband of one of the teachers dropped out of a heart attack the day after.
That's right. You see, broken heart syndrome, what it actually is it causes a disruption in the blood flow being pumped to one section of the heart. So it kind of mimics the effects of a heart attack, but can actually cause a heart attack. Like your increase or your risk of death is increased when you actually go through something like grief, which makes sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, those physical signs of like the pain that you get in your heart and all that kind of thing, like they're all there, but we kind of ignore them. But there's some simple things, as in just to run through them. So say immense stress, grief lowers your immune system, right? So the lower immunity straight away when you're experiencing grief, you can't maintain the stress hormone, your stress hormone balance. But anyone's ever heard of a neutrophil function, like you have a reduced neutrophil function, which is your white blood cells. So you're less likely to produce white blood cells. So straight away, your immune system you're open to everything like coughs, colds, infections, all the different bits and pieces. And then you end up like with like aches and pains, and you're kind of wondering, should I have back pain? Like, does that make sense to have back pain when somebody dies? Joint pain, headaches, just being stiff, even getting out of bed, and like this can go on for months. But when you're going through grief, there's an overwhelming amount of stress hormones in your body, and these stress hormones actually stun the muscles when they're contracting. So that actually gives you the stiffness and the muscle soreness and all the bits and pieces. So, yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like, there's so many different sides of the body and how it reacts. Mm. But other things like your digestive system, Ali, like, you know, the sensitivity you feel, you know, the queasy stomach you feel. So when somebody dies, either the loss of appetite or maybe binge eating, the nauseousness that you feel, it can bring on things even like with your digestive system, like IBS, all the different autoimmune illnesses. Because of grief hitting you to such an extent, like being hit with a jackhammer, all of those things just come to the fore and you don't understand where they come from. And it could be 6 to 9 months or 12 months down the line after somebody dies. that these even hit your system. So it's to be aware, isn't it?
And sleep as well, I'm thinking of, Muriel, because very often, you know, when you're going through grief, the days are long, but the nights can be even longer. And if you're not sleeping, it's very tough.
And sleeping is when your body and your brain rest and repair. That's when you're supposed to rest and repair. And that becomes, like anybody that can't sleep properly, it's so debilitating. Like the sadness and the anxiousness is there already. Mm. And then you add exhaustion in on top of that. So it's so hard even then to cope the next day. And that leads in then to the other side of things, like, can you eat right? Are you able to? Are you even able to think about it? And, like, personal care has to be number one. Like, that's literally, because if you can't look after yourself and care for your body and your mind and all the bits, you can't maintain your energy. And then your positivity levels, even though you're so beef struck in anyway, any level of positivity is gone. And that literally comes from, the effects of sleep. So people that can't sleep at night, if you have been through something like that, or if there's somebody close to you going through it, you definitely have to catnap, Ali. So you have to make sure they lie down during the day for 10 or 15 minutes. Or if it's only just sleeping in the chair, that you actually sleep in the chair beside wherever it is and somebody's with you. Because, you know, people don't like to be on their own when somebody dies. Or like people that have been through or are going through this at the minute, they've cared for somebody for so long.
Yeah.
So like their sleep patterns are upside down anyway. They could be up at night, you know, two or three times during the day. And that focus is gone. And to try and get themselves back into a routine again, it's just so hard. Of God, I can actually go to bed at 10 o'clock and not feel guilty going to sleep. But you do, because you're overwhelmingly guilty that the person isn't there.
Mm.
So it's just for anyone that's listening to be aware that you're not on your own with this. This is like really normal and natural. And it's nearly like, you know, I talk about journaling and doing all of that kind of thing. And I know the motivation isn't there. It's really hard. But if you can and actually realise other people are going through it, like all the signs say, and I've just written down a few. So if you're going through grief, different things, like you can be oversensitive to noise, Ali. You can have a tightness in your chest or your throat, that hollow feeling in your tummy. You can find it difficult to breathe at times, nearly like you're having a panic attack. The tiredness and the weakness in your body, it's nearly like somebody's after running over you. You don't understand it because you should be okay, but your body has just been through so much. It just that level of tiredness is just unreal. The lack of energy. Other things that you don't understand, like a dry mouth, a fear of sleeping, so afraid even to fall asleep. Trying to remember memories that they keep coming into your mind, you know, aches and pains, all of this, they're just all part of somebody dying or the bereavement process. And people need to know, that you really have to mind yourself and take care of yourself. And even if you're taking care of somebody else, I suppose not to overpressure them or judge or anything like that. Like, they should be feeling okay, it's 3 months later. It doesn't, everybody's so different.
Yeah.
So it could take somebody like 18 months and somebody else might be okay after three, you know.
And, well, sorry, I was just reading a text message there as well, as somebody saying, that they're having the trouble sleeping as well. But what I was going to put to you is, I think people forget that when you go through something like that and when grief hits you, like, physically your body is going through shock, the same as it would if you were in an accident.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's say in my world, both my parents died in the last whatever amount of years. And you just, it's really hard. Like, I used to run and do all the different bits and pieces, you know, and it's really funny. Say, after Daddy died, first of all, I was really into running at that stage and fit and all the fitville and all that kind of thing. For the first, I think, 3 to 5 months, my legs just wouldn't lift off the ground.
Wow.
I couldn't explain it. I couldn't myself. I just couldn't understand why my legs wouldn't go. I would try to run, but I just couldn't lift them. It was literally like I had strapped ankle weights around my ankles. Mm. I could walk. And I could walk all day long. And I think it was just, it's nature and the way nature looks after you or mind you or whatever. When I was walking, I was able to think and I was able to listen and say butterflies and things like that. And you love nature and all that kind of thing. And I was able to clear my mind by walking. When I was running, I was putting myself under pressure.
Yeah.
So you don't see things around you when you're running and you're pushing to make times and you're pushing to get that adrenaline rush or whatever. But my body wouldn't let me do that piece of it. But it did let me walk. So it was obviously something telling me, like, this is what you need to do to take care of yourself and you're not to do the other thing. But you cannot explain how much it actually affects you. So I think, people need to know not to put themselves under too much pressure. You really have to take time out and mind yourself. And if you can't do what you're used to do, just don't worry about it. Don't do it. And even if that's just getting out and going shopping and not being able to talk to people, go somewhere else. Like, if you normally went to Aldi or John's and you just can't face people, go somewhere else. Even if it means if you're driving from Clonmel to Care or you're taking yourself completely out of wherever it is, you do come to over time. I don't think you ever forget or the pain ever gets less, but I think you definitely learn to cope and you learn to manage and you learn to get back into life as life is. But I think it's very important not to be too hard on yourself.
Absolutely. And isn't it funny, you kind of touched on it there, how your mind kind of works when you're going through grief. And you reminded me of something there. I remember when my mother died, and I was very young at the time, but I panicked for months because I couldn't remember what she looked like. And I couldn't understand that, like couldn't remember what my mother looked like. But in some way it was my mind kind of saying, that's too painful a while, let's shut this down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah, because at times you think, and it's funny, like there's a five of us in family, like, and different things at different times with different people. Like sometimes you'd actually say, can you remember so-and-so's voice? Can you still hear him talking to you? And somebody would say, God, I dreamed about them all night last night or all for the last week or for the last 2 weeks. You're actually dreaming and they're with me or whatever. And it's funny, people come to you. And it's all your body. It's your mind. It's like sometimes you need people more and they're there or whatever. And I think all of that has to happen, doesn't it? That's your way of coping. But, you know, there's grief assessment tests, John, Annie. And the grief assessment tests, there are actually higher scores of cardio clotting, so like blood clotting, a raised risk of developing clots and having strokes and things like that, after losing somebody, go through the whole grief process. So it's really important, like, to mind yourself, because you don't want to become ill or something happen. Like, you hear of somebody dying and you hear of somebody very close to them, something happening like that case in America. So I just think it's really important to talk about it if we can at all and prioritise the person or ourselves, if it is ourselves, to mind ourselves if it has happened.
And what about something like what might sound like post-traumatic stress? This is from Catherine. She says, my husband passed 4 years ago. I still relive the morning I discovered him passed.
Mm. Yeah. That's I think that's nature. That's literally, I have my own story. I think anyone that you talk to, they have their own stories of, I think you do relive it over and over again. The memory becomes less and then it comes back again. But I think it's trying to find coping mechanisms of, yes, it's okay to remember, to have the memory, but how do you jog yourself out of that you don't let it drag you down? So if it was like a really hard passing or whatever, do you get up and go out for a walk? Is it somebody that you actually pick up the phone and you ring? Is it something nice that you actually sit down there and then treat yourself to something or whatever? But you do have to have coping mechanisms to take you out of that you don't overdwell in it, because it's the overdwelling that causes the stress, and it's the long-term stress that causes the illnesses and the weakened immune system. So we can't let ourselves stress. That's the biggest thing. So if you can remember and do the nice memories, but if you are stressing over a memory, you definitely have to find the coping mechanisms to take you out of that, because that's what's going to make you ill. And it's funny, the people that are left behind, they don't actually realise, I think, to the extent that they're needed by the other people in their world.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of the things that you have to think about when you are overthinking things, because overthinking, it doesn't do anyone any good. Mm. But the minute you overthink things, you're not living. You don't live in the past. You're trying to bring the memories forward with you. You have to live in the present. You can't live in the future either. I remember Mammy used to say that to me before she died. Mm. She used to always say, don't be looking like, what's going to be the better things or what's going to happen tomorrow or whatever. Live in the now. That's the only thing we can control, isn't it?
It is.
And if we can master that, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I cut across to you there. I know, you know, a lot of people might be under pressure, put themselves under pressure that I need to forget that memory, but you're never going to forget it. And just to bring it back as well to my own experience, when, like, my mother died very tragically, very suddenly when I was 10. And I still remember very vividly being told, I remember the smell in the room. I remember the exact words used. Even when I remember it, I still feel that lurch in my stomach that I had when I was told. You'll always have that kind of physical reaction to the memory, won't you? There's no point trying to forget that.
No. And like, I've goosebumps listening to you, because that's what makes us. I think that's what makes us as people. It's all the things in life that we actually go through. Like, I know I'm not the same person I was 7 or 8 years ago. Like, I'm probably gone full circle. I'm a completely different person, to be honest, in a lot of instances. But it's what shapes us, isn't it?
And the world is never going to be the same anyway.
No. And you know, other people that go through it, I definitely think once you've gone through those, you can share the experiences. It definitely does help, you know. So if somebody is going through it for the first time or whatever, you do understand more. Like, I remember after either daddy or mommy dying, I remember, like, some people look across the street because they just don't know how to cope with it. whereas other people will come up to you and they'll have the full-blown conversation and all the bits and pieces. I think if you have been through it yourself, you are better that you can actually go and you can sit and have the conversation, or you can go up to somebody and just give them a hug and say nothing.
Yeah.
But it's what shapes us, and those memories are probably what made you as sensitive as what you actually are, Ali. That literally isn't it. That's the way the world works.
There's an interesting text in here from a listener. I'm grieving after my husband had a massive stroke. How do I overcome this even though he's still alive? So it's dealing with that kind of trauma.
Yeah, you know, and it's literally the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's grieving for the person that he was, and now he's a different person, and that's really hard.
And for the life that you had, and your life's going to be different now. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not even going to go down that road. But what I would say is the biggest thing that she can actually do is she has to mind herself, because I'm sure there's other people in her world that want her, and she still has to live a life.
Mm.
She still has to have a life. So she has to do what she can do for her husband and have the memories and everything and bank him and, you know, mind him and take the nuggets of what she can get from their world at the minute. But if she doesn't practice the self-care thing herself, chances are she could be gone before him, because that's what happens with stress.
Yeah.
And that happens in relationships, that the woman actually even goes before the man because they spend so much time caring for him, or even vice versa. It could be a man caring for a woman. But the carer actually nearly becomes the person that, gets worse or more ill before the other person dies.
Yeah.
So it's again back to that self-care thing of minding yourself.
Yeah, totally. And a listener is asking that. What are the coping skills?
Well, it's back to what I talk about every day, the personal care thing, the exercise, which is literally just bring yourself outside. And it's not even walking. If it's just gardening, if it's walking around the garden, it's just the fresh air. If it's water, if it's the beach, you know, if it's a stream, just things in nature that will bring you back again. Eating well has to be a number one. If we don't eat well, and I've been to a funeral over the last week or so, and, you know, if you don't eat well and you see, like, the amount of food and how good people are and all the bits and pieces, but how unwell you feel when you eat totally wrong, you know? And I think that's one of the things of trying to prioritise the three meals a day. There are different foods that really work, and I'll run through them quickly in a second, but that's the second thing. The third thing I said was the sleep. If you're not sleeping at night, you have to get 6 or 7 hours sleep as a total overall. So if you're not getting that, definitely do the cat naps. If it's only 5 minutes and you're sitting outside in the sun, you close your eyes and you nod off, the next thing is you wake up again. The other thing is good friends or good family to pick up the phone. As Irish people, we're really bad to nurture relationships, especially when we don't feel great. And it's really hard to pick up the phone to ring somebody and say, I need help, or I need a coffee, or I need company. And to actually be able to do that with 2 or 3 good people, people really appreciate when you ring them and say, I need you.
If you're the friend, Muriel, should you kind of impose yourself, or should you wait to be asked?
I think you do it in little bits.
Okay.
I think you do it as in a message, I'm here, you know, a phone call, I'm here, a nod time, drop in, I was passing, would you like to go for a walk, 5 minutes, do you want to sit outside? It's a little bits in the beginning that actually become bigger. You know, that if you're sitting with somebody, it might be just 5 minutes. The next thing is you're there for a half an hour. So I think that definitely works. I know, like, I found it really hard to actually pick up the phone and talk to people, or even want to talk to people. But I know the people that did make an effort with me, I really appreciated it afterwards, you know. And it does take time, but I think you really do appreciate it. And I thought, for the person that is making the effort, it's literally not to be bothered or worried if somebody eats you without salt 50 million times.
Yeah.
Because that happens. And they don't even realise they're doing it. You know, it's up to you just to keep going back and going back. Because the closer you are to somebody, the more you're going to get that somebody flipping and giving out to you non-stop and all the bits and pieces.
Mm.
But that's just the grief process. And people aren't themselves, are they? So, you know, just go with it and sit back into the car and mind yourself and be happy that it's not you and that you're able to go back to your own world. And you've done good by giving them that half an hour or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But Ali, there's a few things as in that can actually help in relation to food. So we talk about things like green tea and all of that now, and I know it's really hard. Somebody is grieving and they won't listen to this and say, that's just nonsense. She's only talking nonsense now. But chamomile tea does work, and it will calm you down, right? So even to make yourself a cup of that instead of normal tea, once or twice a day instead of coffee. Caffeine will make you jittery, and it will make you stressed. So to pull back from things like caffeine, alcohol is another one. It will make you jittery and it make you stressed. And alcohol at night will affect your sleep. So to try and stay away from caffeine and alcohol, if you can at all, a glass of red wine is fine. But you know, a glass of red wine can go to 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And then you feel edgy. And because it's processed, it's just not good. The other thing is dark chocolate is brilliant. So do treat yourself. So sit down, have your cup of tea. Dark chocolate improves the blood flow to the brain. It improves your memory and your focus. So you start feeling better. And it also reduces your stress hormone levels. So that's really good. And a simple thing, another simple thing, and you see, like older people do it a lot, but bananas, and you forget about them. But bananas actually reduce anxiety. They keep it at bay. They're a natural beta blocker. So like, people don't know that. So they counteract the effect of adrenaline. So the adrenaline makes you feel high.
Yeah.
Well, they actually keep your heart rate lower and calmer. So you have a calmer state of mind. So that's, they're kind of simple. Like magnesium is another one, and people don't realise it now. Even to take a magnesium supplement, magnesium helps anxiety, apathy, depression, headaches, insecurity, restlessness, all the different things. And it actually has things like potassium and vitamin C. Banana has magnesium, which helps with anxiety, apathy, depression, headaches, insecurity, and all of that. It also has potassium, vitamin C, fibre, so many different things, vitamin B6. And that's just a simple banana, even at 11 o'clock in the day if you don't feel well. Mm. You know, so there's things that you can do or things that you can eat if you eat well. If you're eating wrong and stodgy and processed food and takeaways and stuff, it just over time, your health markers are going to go wrong and you're going to feel unwell. So your blood pressure will go up and your sugars will be wrong and you'll be on that roller coaster all day long of why don't I feel well? I need another bar of chocolate. And then it happens again after 2 hours and then that affects your sleep in the evening time. So if you can get those few things right, we always say sleep, remove the gadgets if you can at all, eat a little bit better. Hydration is massive, so the water is absolutely massive in your world. And then the naps, the cat nap, and they're the biggest things, Ali.
Yeah, and just to be kind to yourself. Muriel, thanks so much for talking to us this morning.
Yeah, thanks
very much. All the best.
Ali.
Thanks, Muriel.
Bye-bye.
The Imro Radio Award-winning Tip Today.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Test drive the all-new Peugeot 2008 compact SUV at Slattery's Garage, puck on. Choose from petrol, diesel or fully electric. Slattery'sGarage.ie.